Woo! Good morning, Vikings fans. This is Morning Joes, and I'm
Good
your host.
afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, actually. I'm your host, Joe Johnson, owner of PurplePTSD.com, VikingsTerritory.com, and PurpleTerritoryRadio.com. Here, as always, or as usually, with Mr. Joe, what you know, Joe.
I don't know nothing. Couldn't have been more
Orbally.
appropriate music for me in my life. What do you
You
know?
know, what
I
a
don't.
great song for us. What a great
Intro?
yeah, and I was gonna say a great day, probably 12 hours now. Or actually about 16, 17 hours as we finally got to the bottom of the Kyle Rudolph situation, which has dominated a lot of this post-draft coverage. And I know a lot of, I assume a lot of listeners and readers and fans are kind of tired of hearing about it. So it's just a relief that that has happened. But before we hop into that, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm good. We're in the afternoon here because, we're morning Joes, but in the afternoon because we're on summer hours. So what are you going to do? That's how it goes.
That and you were at minicamp today,
I
which
was.
is been a kind of a rainy, overcast day.
Yeah, it was. It was weird because I got there right at the appropriate time, and I thought I saw some other media members going outside. And by the time I got there, I arrived at the gate. When and only Chris Thomason from the St. Paul Pioneer Press was standing at the gate, and he says it's locked. And I said, "What?" And I looked through to try to find the players, and I guess there were some sprinkles. So Zimmer raced him inside, not telling, the two most important media members that this had happened. So we stood there, looked at each other, and said, "Do you have any phone numbers?" "No, no." So we started walking around. We finally worked our way back and heard him practicing inside and got in there and watched him. And it made a good practice. It was pretty spirited, it seemed like. It was, I was shocked. And I could tell you, Joe, last night before I went down there in preparation for this, I told Joe, "Give me three names of somebody you want me to watch, for the broadcast here that we could talk about." And so and he sends me, Joe sends me several names, and Jordan Taylor and Jeff
Jeff Badet.
Bidette, and who was the other one?
Might have been Hercules Mata'afa. It could have
No,
been.
it wasn't. It was another receiver. And I get there and I start looking for these guys, and what are the odds that
Dylan
all three
Mitchell,
of them?
probably.
All three of them were not practicing. No, it wasn't Dylan Mitchell because he did practice, but I'll get it for me here for in a second. But it's the way things go on Morning Joes. When you ask for
What
watch
are the
three guys.
odds of that happening?
And I can
All
tell you what
three
they're
guys.
doing, Joe. Yeah, I can tell you what they're doing. Standing on the sidelines watching just like me, so
I wonder why.
Yeah, I know they didn't say they never do. It was kind of interesting that there was quite a few people that were out. I mean, David Morgan still has not practiced. He didn't in OTAs, and he was there today. We saw him at the end. Let's see. Taylor had no helmet. Bowers was out. Jeff Bidette couldn't find him anywhere. And number 43, who the heck was that? That was the other guy you asked me about? No, I can't. Anyway. It was just, I just laughed. I said, "Joe, sorry, can't watch him. Not doing
That
anything." But.
is the best way to sum up, if I could think of an example of how our luck works with this show.
Yeah. You do a little show prep and it blows up in your face. That's what, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Was Elflein? Irv Smith Jr.
Elflein.
was the other one.
That was the other one. You're correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All three of them were not practicing, which was. Which made and you had Rudy, speaking of Irv Smith, you had
Yeah.
Rudy out there, happy to be out there and practicing, and there was another tight end that got some a lot of reps with even with the first team.
Conklin?
No, it wasn't Conklin. It was even a younger guy. And I'm, gosh darn it, no show prep. I can't think of what it is. I'll come up with it later. But as a result of Smith being out, because Smith was had been getting a lot of time with the ones, and with him not practicing, they moved another guy up. But that's it's always that opportunity.
I suppose they have to with David Morgan being out and everything, which is there has been a lot of opportunity. I think that Ian Paraguay and I did our Saturday show, which is the call-in show. So if people listening aren't doing anything on Saturdays around 10, 11 a.m., we take calls, quote-unquote calls, people joining our conversation on Periscope. And we had just talked about kind of the blessing in disguise that is, or at least had been, Diggs not practicing at OTAs. As that is kind of given guys like Jordan Taylor more time with the ones, guys like Jordan Badette.
Yeah, a lot of the younger guys, absolutely.
You know, what's interesting, too, about that was hearing from Thielen what he had said about Chad Beebe, which I thought was glowing praise, especially considering how good he and Diggs are. I would argue they're top. Them two are the best 1-2 punch at wide receiver, but they're the best 1-2 punch at running routes in the NFL. And Thielen had said that he had never seen anyone move like Chad Beebe in regards to his route running, which I don't know if you've picked up on any of that being there in person, what he meant by that specifically, what he's really good at, if he's just good at coming out of his cuts or if he's like Diggs and he speeds up in his cuts or what. But that seems like, again, glowing praise, but something that could potentially end up with him taking over the three spot, depending on what they're looking for.
Just before I answer that question, Cole Hikutini, number 87, is the guy who was getting some run with the ones and two. Tight end number 87, Cole Hikutini, Hikutini, I believe.
Hikutini. He's played in the league for 2 years. He's 24. He's 6'4", 240, and he went to Louisville, which means automatically hate him.
He was getting a lot of run when they're doing two tight end sets with Rudy in there. But anyway, that's funny you should mention Beebe, because I said to another media member, Tim Yoder, today. I said it's gonna be hard to keep this guy off the team, you know. And you know, he was actually back receiving all the punts today. I have to make an aside and say that this new indoor facility at TCO is amazing, because they can punt inside the thing and not
you know. Yeah, that ceiling is, I don't know how they built that building, but that ceiling is so high. You feel like you're in some sort of airplane hangar or something, and the fans look like the propellers, or whatever you call them, from the Titanic.
Right.
They're just huge.
It's not the best ceiling for picking up the kick either, because I could see Beebe having a little trouble with it, but he was making all the catches. But Joe, he sticks out. He sticks out in just how quick he is, you know, in making his cuts and making his moves, and you know what, if he's got great precision in his routes tacked onto that, it's only gonna you know, make him better. He's tough. He's not as, I mean, he's not a big target to throw to, per se, because he's a small guy.
5'10".
He finds the ways to get open, and he always hangs on to the ball. There's no two ways about it. This kid could, if he's given the opportunity and stays healthy, more so than he did last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I won't go so far yet to say wide receiver number three, but he is certainly in the mix and certainly in the conversation.
I
would certainly agree with you.
You would have to think that if he didn't get injured last year, that he might have gotten a lot more play during the regular season, because he's been one of those guys that, perhaps unfairly because of that, has been labeled like one of the preseason studs, or one of those guys that shows out a lot in camp but doesn't necessarily come through in the regular season. And I don't necessarily think that's the case with him, just based on the injuries and stuff. But he definitely had a great preseason last year. And I think it's going to come down to really what the team needs or wants at the position, because there are guys like Jordan Taylor who has been making these amazing sideline toe-touching sort of grabs. I think his touchdown that he had, I had it written down last week. I forget what corner was working on him, but you know, just in his size and his dexterity in the getting his feet in bounds might come in handy. Because if you look at, if they're in the red zone, or let's say the ultra red zone from the 5 yard line, and you have a guy like him, you have a who's 6'5", then you have Kyle Rudolph who is 6'5" or 6'6", then you have a kind of a pick your poison. How do you stop this sort of situation? But then you have the other guys like Bidette, who's super fast, and Beebe, who seems to be an amazing route runner. Maybe they'll take one of each and keep, you know, that five, Taylor, Bidette, and Beebe. But I don't think – I'm just a huge Bidette nerd because I like how fast he is, but I don't necessarily think he's kind of in that group of Beebe and Taylor. But I definitely think that that raises the possibility that Treadwell – ends up on the chopping block, despite the dead cap money.
Treadwell actually looked good today, better than he did last week to me at OTAs. He made a couple catches, one on the sideline, ran a long route, decoy route down the side of the field, and wait, he didn't get the ball thrown to him. But he, unfortunately, still, I mean, when you're watching people like Bidette, Beebe, and my God, Diggs, and I'll talk about him in a minute, who just have been racing up and down the sidelines. Treadwell looks so slow.
He
looks slow. You know, I'm not saying he is that terribly slow, but my goodness.
I mean, that's kind of the knock against him.
You see these jitterbugs of these other guys. There was one play today from Cousins to Diggs. Diggs ran a seam route up the middle, and Mackenzie Alexander made a diving attempt to knock it out, but he hit him right in stride. Beautiful zipping pass right in the middle, and Diggs was gone. Cousins, yeah, Diggs was gone. Just caught it in stride and zipped up the middle and went to the end zone raising the ball, almost like the same way last year when he kind of showboated for the crowd, and made Xavier Rhodes mad. But it was an exciting play, and it was great. Great throw by Cousins.
I forgot about that. Yeah. The Rhodes thing last year, how ticked off he got. With Treadwell, the word has always been that he's slow, but he's also super quick. So, like, from 0 to 10 yards, he's probably the quickest. But beyond that, he just has no top end. And the more – I mean, I've always ragged on him, and I've ragged on him this week even on our Slack with a lot of people talking about – liking him. We brought on like four new guys to help with some of the training camp stuff, and we were talking about that. But I think, and we don't need to get into this because we talked about it a lot, but you know, he was brought in under a different regime, a different quarterback, a different offensive coordinator. I think they had different plans for him, and I think he could potentially work in a different offense. I just think that this isn't the offense for him. So I certainly think, you know, I don't think NFL coaches or GMs like anything more than first-round skill players that get cut, that they can, you know, with the egos saying, well, they just didn't use him right, I can fix him, he'll get another opportunity for sure. I've even seen people saying that we'll trade him to get Trent Williams here, which I don't know how much trade value he has, if any.
No.
I think it's kind of a negative, especially with his contract.
No, they're going to cut him. I shouldn't say they're not going to cut him, but people know that he's going to be done here, and he's. I don't think he does have any trade value. I think he could play somewhere else, but I mean, for me, it comes down to ability to separate, and Treadwell just hasn't demonstrated that much. That he can, you know, he might be quick out of the gate, but you know, all kinds of DBs in this league have plenty of closing speed that can come in and get on him when the ball's going to be coming out to him. I don't think he has that ability, whether it's know-how, technique, strength, or what. But
mental,
he just doesn't.
The mental toughness, too.
That could be.
His inability to catch the ball, I don't think that's a hands thing. I just think he takes his eyes off the ball too quickly.
Right. Even when he's in traffic, he'll have – I mean, when he's not in traffic, he's actually open. He has drops in big spots. And you can't have that. If you don't catch the ball when you're supposed to in those situations, and then it gets even worse when you're covered. It's a problem. I mean, especially when you're sitting across the line for someone like Diggs and certainly Thielen, who just catches everything. God, the guy amazing.
Yeah, he's. I mean, you look at guys like Chris Carter who came in, I think, who benefited greatly from the tutelage of Carter, and the hands that he had and the ability that he had to keep his feet in balance. But even those guys, and this is really high praise because I clearly think very highly of both. I just wrote like a 5,000, not really, probably 2,700 word article about the Moss trade and how bad I thought that was. But the catch radius of Thielen is just something that we've never seen before. I mean, you can throw it while he's running full speed one direction behind him towards the ground, and somehow he does like a weird, like he contorts his body. He catches nearly everything. I should look at our PFF Elite. Yeah, they're a sponsor as well, so I know everyone loves PFF except for Zimmer, and see what the percentage of balls thrown to him and the percentage of his catches, because it has to be completely through the roof. You and I didn't have a chance to talk about this, though. It was a big topic this
past week. He made another
week.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say Adam made another great catch in practice today. He was across the middle and reaching way out ahead of him. That was not a poorly thrown ball, but wasn't right there. And he just, you know, grabbed with his fingertips and, you know, just great body control. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It reminds me of when we rented the movie theater for the opener two seasons ago with Bradford having the best game of his career. And he had those two deep passes to Thielen. And a lot of wide receivers, I don't think, would have caught those balls, or they at least wouldn't have been able to get some yards after the catch. Because Bradford kind of led him a little bit too far, but on the tips of his fingers, he caught those, and I think hauled them in for either touchdowns or really big gains. And it was not necessarily his coming out party, but it was like, man, this guy's just awesome. But yeah, no, I hadn't gotten your take on the Trent Williams thing, and I was talking to Ian. We talked about this on the show. He has been just obsessed with the idea of the Vikings getting him. Now, in a perfect world, adding him would abate a lot of my concerns about the offensive line, even though I'm very, very happy with the moves that they made this offseason. I would be on cloud nine, selling shirts in the merch store, you know, Super Bowl or bust, even though that's probably where I'm at anyway. I don't see how that is even in the realm of possibility, considering the financial situation.
Oh, I don't. I heard the talk about it. You know, somebody wants to be traded, so who needs an offensive tackle? And they people speculate, oh, Riley Reiff and somebody else. Oh, Treadwell. You know,
yeah, that's who. I think it was a second round pick next year and a third round pick the year after.
It's such pie in the sky. It would be wonderful. It's not going to happen. You know, I don't know how the contracts line up. And they just cleared, you know, some cap space with the Kyle Rudolph extension, which will allow them to survive the season, I think, in case they have to do emergency injury signings for players that go down. People like it, which always happens. So I don't know what this guy, you know, if this guy's going to be traded, you know, he's probably going to come in here and complain that he wants to have his contract renegotiated. So, I mean, you know, Vikings, they probably can't even entertain it unless they traded him and cleared some major cap space.
Has that come out? I checked Connor Wickland, who's one of the managing editors of Purple PTSD. He's kind of our cap guy, and he's writing. I just edited his article that should be live by the time people listen to this show, unless they're listening live, about the numbers behind Rudolph's extension. And there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of big name, Ian Rappaport and other guys who are disagreeing on Twitter about the numbers behind this. As far as I can see, it's a 5-year extension, so it's an extra year. It's four years after.
Yeah, four years,
but 5 years total, right?
Yep.
So it would be through 2023, where he'd be 34 years old. The 4-year deal is $36 million, which is breaks down to $9 million a year, putting him in the top five of all tight ends. But it doesn't seem like anyone really knows how much of that is guaranteed, how much is dead cap. I've heard that after this season, they could cut him with no dead cap at all.
I want to say go ahead. I was going to say that. That sounds unlikely. You got to think two.
Especially I was just going to say based on Rudolph's tweets or Instagram or whatever when he wrote that whole thing about his family and being a Viking forever, so on and so forth. It doesn't seem like 1 year and then being able to cut him makes sense.
Yes. No, you're right. I mean, it was interesting. Kyle talked afterwards and brought up Jimmy Kleinsaucer, who was Vikings for 13 years at tight end, and how much, you know, they had talked, the two of them, when Kyle first came here, and Kleinsaucer was at the end, and he was saying, yeah, I could have gone somewhere else for more money, and I really wanted to be here, and I appreciate it. And Kyle was saying today how that was a lot like his situation. Their family has really made this Minnesota their home. You know, they've really become entrenched in the area. They, you know, whether it's kids in school or Kyle and his activities in the community. He's huge. Mm-hmm. He was up for the man of the year last year, as everybody knows. So I think it was a big deal to him. He really made it sound like he called it rumors that were out there that he wanted to go somewhere else and win a championship and get more money, blah, blah. He said it wasn't about that. He goes, I wanted to stay here. But he and his agents worked to make it right, and they had to figure it out with cap space. I had to ask somebody else, yeah, I don't understand this, how they can pile more money onto his current season this year.
Yeah.
And that somehow alleviates the Vikings cap space. I mean, you know, bring in Connor Wicklund, whoever you said, somebody explains to me, how did this math works, but Rob Brzezinski's the guy who figures that out, and apparently it works. So
signing bonus?
Perhaps. I mean, I'm sure they must do it that way, but, you know, it's funny. I mean, yeah, they move it around with signing bonuses, and some of it's guaranteed money, and I'm sure the Vikings were working at, you know, having many of the last couple of years not guaranteed so they can protect themselves if he goes in the tank. There are some people that are complaining about the signing. You know, yeah, I saw it online when I was reading about it last night saying, you know, oh, God, that's great for Kyle Rudolph, a lot of money for someone who's mediocre at best. And, you know,
I am so sick of that take. I mean, he had one down year, but, I mean, he was...
2 years ago, he was the leading receiver in touchdowns on the team.
Exactly. Like,
that's still great shakes.
You know, and the assumption that Irv Smith Jr. is just going to come into the league at the tight end position, which is one of the harder positions to acclimate to just because of all the physicality behind it, is a big one. I think the team is setting themselves up if Smith Jr. turns into this huge star and everything, then they can get rid of Rudolph and it's not a big hit on the team. That way, but I also think that, and I wrote this in whatever I was, when I was editing Connor's piece, I added, you know, that the team might, financially, it might make sense, but whether or not I mean, Rudolph's such a big, I thought at least, a big fan favorite that people might be a little upset about that. But yeah, there's this is contingent of people that thinks that just because, maybe it's because he's protected his body and he doesn't fight for extra yards Gronk style, because if he did, he would never be on the field the entire season, that they're upset about that, or that he's just not very fast or whatever. But he catches the ball when you throw it to him. He is really good in the red zone and at scoring touchdowns. And when you're pairing him up with somebody like Irv Smith Jr., who, again, I said this last week that my dad will hate this, and the first thing he said to me when I saw him was, you're right, I hate it. It's exciting. You know, they've tried and tried and tried to get this two tight end thing going. Rudolph was super excited about it last year at his youth camp and with under DeFilippo, and it didn't happen. And with the offensive line being improved, they might not need as much help from the tight ends chipping or blocking in general, and that might open up a whole new type of thing that we haven't seen before as Vikings fans. I don't want to compare them to Gronk and Hernandez, but from a skill set perspective, that's what they're trying to do. I think you have the two different types, They're not going obviously going to be as good because both could have ended up being Hall of Famers had Hernandez not been completely insane. But pump the brakes on this Kyle Rudolph stuff because he's a good guy and he's come through when they've asked him to and he scores touchdowns and what else do you want?
That's the take that you just described earlier is that whenever they complain about him, they bring up, oh, they drafted a Irv Smith and he's going to be the next big thing. Oh, if that's going to happen, it's going to be because Rudolph mentored him to be a professional.
I was going to add that and then ask you a little or talk about that a little too.
Show him how to play the position, as how to be a pro, how to play the position, what to do. Yeah. Just as the same way Klein Saucer mentored Rudolph when he came into the league, it's how it works. This is a perfect scenario for the Vikings if they can get out of it the last year. If Smith blows up and they don't need him, and they would probably have to draft somebody else as well if they really like the two tight end system. But you see him running it a lot, even just in like mini camp and OTAs when you know Morgan isn't there. They've got let's say his name again, Cole Hikutini.
Yeah, rolls off the tongue.
Exactly. So you know it's something they obviously want to do. I think it's fine. Yes, Rudy come into the league and not be a very good blocker? Yes. Did he get a little bit better marginally? Yes. Was he injury prone? Coming in from college into his first couple years in the pros, yes. Has he gotten better? Yes. Is that the sacrifice, as you mentioned, about him not extending plays and breaking up a lot of blockers downfield? Yes, perhaps. Yes, I suspect it is. But by the same token, he's been on the field ever since he started doing that. And Bud Grant has always said for years, you know, the most valuable players in his teams are the durable ones. So you got to be out there, you got to be on the field, and he has produced. You know, he's not. I think everybody sees him, his size, and they see, you know, how come he's not Gronk? How come he's not what's the guy from KC?
Kelsey.
How come he's not him? Fine, you know, he's not. That's not the kind of player he is.
But Gronk just retired before he was 30 years old, too.
That's a great point. That's why.
Exactly. He was such a risk in fantasy because most of the seasons he'd miss games. But he was a beast when he was there. And I do have a strong feeling that Gronk might return in a year or two when his body kind of gets back and he kind of thinks, wow, I could still do this. Maybe go for one more Super Bowl while Brady's still playing. But to touch on what you were saying, that's
in
my
a couple of years.
He wants to play to 45. What is he, 42?
Yeah, whatever.
We'll see. Anyway, I was reading a little bit before the show about how Irv Smith Sr. had called Rudolph after the draft and asked him to take care of his kid, almost as if they were going into prison together or something. And it was a great analogy. And how Rudolph took that to heart and promised to do so, and how he has been doing that. I think that's really cool, and that's a testament to the type of guy that he is.
Wow, he's the one that let who's the wide receiver from Creighton that has used to be with the Arizona Cardinals.
The kombucha guy, Michael Floyd.
Yes, Michael Floyd. He spent a summer living with Rudolph, trying to keep him out of harm's way as far as the
good point.
The non kombucha stuff. So maybe that's what's going on there. Who knows? But no, Rudy is a great guy. He's a great influence and he's a great leader in the locker room. It's a good thing if it doesn't kill you. If it works, it makes the numbers work. If it helps the roster, absolutely. Pull Rudolph out of this lineup. Well, I guess he was under contract for this season. But if you take him, if you trade him and all you get is draft point picks, you know, they're going to struggle in the offense with just Irv Smith learning the game. It's going to take a while. So I think it's a great signing. I'm glad they did it. Kyle Rudolph made it sound like it was never a chance it wouldn't happen. You know that Zimmer wants him. He said it before, and he was saying it again today. He says, oh, no, I fully expected him to be here. He's under contract for this year, but, you know, and he truly wants him. Zimmer loves those guys that are locker room guys. You know, you need them on your team because there's so much turnover in this league every year that you need some guys that it isn't just the coach in your ear saying this is how you're a professional. You need some peers that come up to you and say, hey, listen, dude, this is how you got to do things in order to make this career work for you. So it's a good thing.
Did you notice any the report of the Vikings bringing in a few punters to compete with Weil today at all? Justin Vogel, who was with the Packers in 2017, or Shane Tripukis? That can't be his right. Who they got in rookie camp, and then apparently there's like some one other guy who's a mystery guy. Who they're going to bring in to compete with?
They
him.
Brought in Tripukis and suck up. And no, I'm just kidding. Hunters. No, you sent me that note, and I go, what? You know, here I was late to the start of practice, like I was saying, because of the change of venue. I came in and they were doing the punting, and okay. I was focused on BB watching him. So to be honest, I wasn't even watching who was kicking. So. I apologize. I don't have any information on that. I find it interesting. It's worthwhile. You know,
yeah.
Put everybody on notice. Always look to improve. It doesn't mean they're going to change punters, but they're going to see how their punter stacks up to somebody else that's out there. You got to keep doing that. You got to keep looking at those guys,
especially with a new special teams coach,
right?
And him having perhaps a different point of view. I know that.
Great point.
What's his face? That the old special teams coach, Prefer was always switching punters, and I think he was looking a lot for hang time and directional punting, and that's not necessarily
anybody
a universal
who wasn't
Cluey. Exactly, which is unfortunate because Cluey actually statistically is the best punter in the history of the team. Apparently, I've defended that position before after he's been on the show because people didn't agree with it, but it's true. He broke a ton of records, but I think that's the key. And I don't know what the new special teams coach is looking for, but it seemed like they were always looking for guys who could directionally punt and who had good hang time, and that's difficult. But yeah, well, I mean, it'll be interesting to see the differences between this and Prefer, especially because they wanted to keep Prefer, but he decided a change of scenery was in order. But we don't spend a lot of time talking about special teams on this show, and a lot of people don't have a lot of interest in special teams, but it's obviously a super important part of the game, especially with a team like the Vikings, where field position is incredibly important, clock management, that sort of thing. So I think that Zimmer, his influence is there as well, just because they want to make sure that they're maximizing that part of the game, field position, and so on. So we shall see. But getting back into minicamp, there were some players that were there that you watched, and I got a lot of crap for the name of the show last week, which was the title said one of the things was the Diggs mystery, and people acted like I was implying that it was some big controversy or negative. Whereas I really just meant that he wasn't there and there wasn't a lot of information as to why he wasn't there. Not necessarily. I mean, I think the first thing that you and I both said was that wasn't a big deal. Like, people don't go. AP didn't go. Not like he's the best guy to compare people to, but in no way did I mean that was some big controversy. But he was back, and I was wondering if there had been any light shed on that. And also to defend the point of the Diggs mystery, I know a couple days ago Zimmer came out to downplay his absence, which to me implies that people were implying that it was a bad thing. So you and I didn't agree with that at all, but that's kind of how some of the fans took it. So with him being back, I was wondering if there was any more information on that.
You know, last week he addressed the media, and someone asked him, it was kind of just it was I guess he was in front of the podium, and he said, you know, answer quickly, it was just a family deal that, you know, he had to tend to, and that's all he said, and that's all you needed to hear. And you know, Zimmer, when he was asked about it last week, he said, yeah, whatever, you know, no big deal, don't worry about it, it's not a mandatory mini camp.
He told his brother to stop going on Twitter and implying that he's getting traded to the Redskins.
yeah, that could be gone and took his phone away, but you know, it's not mandatory OTAs, but minicamp is. So he was there and he spoke to the media, and he looked great. He looked him and Thielen look great, and especially when Cousins is throwing to him. Now it's got to have a caveat with this. I mean, you know, we had talked. We found out the offensive players you told me to watch were not playing. You sent some defensive players, and I start looking at them in linemen. It's really hard to evaluate offensive linemen and defenders in without pads, because these guys are basically chasing the other guys around and reacting, just trying to get in front of them. And you know, people get taken to the turf. Diggs got drilled by some young guy who was grabbing him as he was knocking him out of bounds, and I didn't mean to do that. There was another time when Diggs was double covered by Rhodes, and I want to say Anthony Harris, and he stopped short on this cut, grabbed the ball in a great quick play, and Rhodes fell out of bounds right in amongst our media and just laid there and just got this exasperation. And then he laid there for a few seconds smiling, gets up and he says, "Ref, where's your flag?" You know, so it was fun to see that they were having fun out there, but it also goes to the point that the offense has the advantage and stuff like this, and it's much more fun to watch. So you know, I'm going to go back out to tomorrow and I'm going to try to watch defensive players and the line, but it's almost useless. You know, what I would like to say in a real quick segue about Elfline and Bradbury, you know, there were no botched snaps, and they looked, you know, smooth getting off the ball, you know, so there wasn't any flags thrown for offside. It's about as best you can say it, because the guys aren't rushing that much. I mean, these guys are shoving each other and trying to push through and put some pressure on the quarterback, but it's, you know, you got to take it with a huge grain of salt. And
yeah.
Especially for the defense, too. But I you know what, it might be a little early to say it, but I really think there is even some more chemistry going on there between Diggs and Thielen and their quarterback. And, you know, they seem to be connecting and in the right spots. And Cousins looked really good. Cousins looked okay last week. I thought he looked really good today. And he was hitting some you know, great timing routes, especially with those guys. And that comes from playing a season. Diggs was asked afterwards if he's going to do some more between now and camp, because, oh, yeah, we must get together. We have to get together. We will. So, you know, I think they're all trying to figure out the new offense and continue building chemistry. And you know, if this is any indication, huge caveat, then I would say that's happening.
Well, that's exciting, too, though, just because it felt like at points last season, especially the first eight games when Thielen was breaking all those records, that, I mean, Diggs was a huge part of that, in that I think that he was the decoy and that opposing defenses were, you know, trying to stop him as a deep threat as opposed to Thielen, and because they thought it was more manageable to get those chunk yardages than huge touchdowns, especially after the Minneapolis Miracle. You did feel like he was more connected to Thielen than he was to Diggs, and if it's improved with Thielen and also Diggs, it's getting harder and harder not to get excited about the upcoming season. And you know, like you said, they're not even in pads yet, and they're not going full speed on defense because they, you know, they're not going to hurt
their
opposing. Exactly. It's glorified flag football at this point.
To a degree, it is. Yep.
But it's still like super, super exciting. I mean, even having the news that, and this isn't a surprise to anybody, but that Bradbury is the starting center for sure. They gave him that role this week. Which is to be expected, considering where they drafted him, but just him having more time to just work on that solely, to work on the chemistry with Elfline, especially with Elfline, you know, having a couple seasons removed, from the last time that he played guard, you know, it's all moving in the right direction at this point, and so I'm pretty excited about that. We talked about
the hope is big. The hope is huge right now, Joe.
It's got to be. You know, because I'm, like we established last week, I'm already really down about next season, 2020.
The greatest take ever.
That's the most, also the most Joe take of all time.
It was. We have to write that down. Remember that. Well, yeah, we're fine for right now, but look at next year.
Oh, we're screwed. Actually, the person that you sent back to me that you watched was someone that a lot of our writers on Slack were interested in. Namely, Connor, because I guess Connor loves this player, but Madison was the guy that you kept an eye on, who is maybe being overshined a little bit just by some of the other players in regards to media coverage, but he's going to have a huge role this season, especially considering Dalvin Cook's injury history, knock on drywall. But he could end up being such a big pickup for them.
I totally agree with that take. I the thing you haven't heard much about him, maybe because he's overshadowed by other things, perhaps. But the other thing is he's not making any mistakes, and he is in I want to say almost 50%, probably not quite there because I wasn't tracking it exactly, but just my impression in working with the ones and trading off with Dalvin Cook. I mean, they run a couple plays with him, and then Madison's in there doing it. The game does not look too big for him at this point. Now it's going to be different again with pads. You know, you're going to have to get a sign that I put up everywhere. Everything, every take I have from here on in is until I get pads on, you know.
If we're on video, you could just hold up a little sign on a stick.
Exactly. But the other side of the coin is, I wrote it down last week and I wrote it down again. The guy looks so comfortable catching the ball out of the backfield. And they have done plenty of that. He does not look like AP used to look, you know, catching the ball, you know, just still kind of working his way through each catch. AP would make the catches, but you could see it wasn't natural. And it really looks that way with Madison. And I certainly feel that way. It is that way with Dalvin Cook as well. And, you know, there's just like last week at OTAs, they run a lot of this play action and reverse naked bootleg they were schooling the defense and they were sucking them again today. So I am excited about Madison. I think he's going to get perhaps even more time than I've already forgotten his name. Who is our other running
back?
No, not Cook.
Amir Abdullah?
His backup. Cook's backup last year. Latavius Murray.
Oh,
I mean, he's going to get almost as much more time than him the way, you know, I've seen so far. But, you know, like I said, I really like the way he looks. I like the way he moves, and I just like how comfortable he is. I was trying to grab him afterwards just to ask him if he thought, what he thought of the jump to this league, and let him know that I think he looks pretty comfortable, and just find that out. And hopefully, I get a chance to do so because it just seems like he stepped right in and. You know, doesn't look like a rookie. The other guy who looks really quick and fast is Mike Boone. Maybe it's because he doesn't have pads on. I always thought he was a little bit more a bruiser, but boy, he looks quick and tough through the hole so far in the 2 weeks that I've seen him. So I think of the running back department, the Vikings are probably looking pretty good.
Have you seen anything from what's his name? Kari Blazing game? Blazing game? I can't even pronounce it.
Play for the Golden State Warriors? What are you talking about?
He's apparently he physically looks a lot like Murray did, and we had a guy that works for a website called lineups.com that submitted an article kind of as a general NFL guy that focuses on depth charts. It was on Vikings territory about a week ago, and one of the guys that he focused on was him, and basically saying that he might end up taking C.J. Ham's position because he's a lot more capable of catching the ball. But he's a big bruiser. He's like 6'2", 230, so he looks a lot more like Latavius Murray did. And apparently, I think that he was an undrafted free agent, but he's supposed to have a ton of potential. Probably just a practice squad guy. I was wondering if you saw him out there at all versus C.J. Ham or even Amir Abdullah, if you've seen him at all.
Now, see, this is why I sent you the question last night, to give me some names.
I know. I love throwing out just random people.
Nice guy. Thanks a lot. After this first 45 minutes of just total expert analysis.
I know.
Just, I get to say.
I'll be honest.
Joel.
I had no idea who he was until I read that article, so I'm not acting like I'm some depth chart genius by any stretch of the imagination.
I will say that Ham looked good. He made two nice catches out of the backfield, and they were dump offs, but one of them was across the middle as well. And so I don't think Ham's ready to go anywhere just yet.
I can't imagine that either. Just how much he's been ingrained in this team and everything. I think that however you pronounce his name, Blazingham, will end up on the practice squad. But I am a big, and I always will be, Amir Abdullah nerd, just because of how good he was in college and where he played college. Also, even though Nebraska is kind of a new addition to the Big Ten, but he was him and Melvin Gordon. It was like 1-2 best running backs in the league that are in college football. So you know he's a little undersized, so there's just no way he was going to be able to handle even 15 carries a game in the NFL. But I wonder if he'll be the odd man out just with the Madison pick and all of that, even though they did re-sign him.
It's possible. I suspect he probably doesn't have any I don't even know the rules, but you can't throw a guy like that back on a practice squad, even if he did someone would grab him anyway. So it's possible. I'm suddenly thinking they're pretty darn deep there. And, yeah, you're right, the Madison pick may preclude that, but you never know in this league, and you never know what happens between now and then. I'm not wishing anybody to get injured or anything, but you got to have depth at every position to survive, and you got to have cap space to sign them when you don't. So,
were you surprised that all that AP came out this week and said he wanted to retire as a Viking, just based on some of the animosity and stuff he said last season?
Surprised? That's a good way to ask it.
Because, I mean, that's how it usually works, and it's water under the bridge. But, I mean, it's a lot of this. I mean, maybe he said that because Kevin Warren is gone now, and so you feel better
about
it.
That's a good point. Well, I don't know. It's crazy. Am I surprised? No, because AP is, you know, God love him, is kind of a knucklehead at times and has, you know, always never been – well, knucklehead's a strong word. He's a great guy, but he answers the questions as you ask him, and that question was put to him, so he answered. It's not like he was out there fishing, you know, throwing this thing up there. I think Ben Gessling from the Star Tribune had asked him the question at an event this week, and he answered it. And I'm not surprised, you know, but I'm surprised because he's not retired, you know. He's still on the Washington team, and so that's usually something that comes up afterwards. You talk to the team behind the scenes, and they say, hey, either one camp or the other puts that out there and says, would you like to do this? You know, the company says, oh yeah, it's great. You know, it gives us a great thing to get people fired up to come down, and you know, it's good marketing opportunity. But I guess. In the final analysis, I hope that it happens. I would think it would. He's got to be one of the top performing players in this team's history. And you know, yes, he's had the tail end of his career here was certainly checkered, and I have problems with a lot of that went down. But I really think he should and probably will be retired as a Viking.
For sure, it's really too bad that things ended the way that they did, just because he was such a... I mean, they had to change a lot of their marketing stuff just because of how big of a player he was. I mean, even a lot of the websites, like PurpleJesus.com, had to undergo marketing changes, which is why I'm comfortable with PurplePTSD.com, because I don't ever see that name coming back to bite us. The last question is, there's a really deep undrafted free agent that I wanted to talk to. I'm kidding.
We also say, oh God, no, chances are I don't know him. I haven't seen him. Go ahead.
We did have Cousins on the list of the amended list of people to talk about. You talked a little bit about him and in regards to Diggs and Thielen and everything. But in watching him with the new offense, do you see him looking comfortable or getting a lot of talking to the coaches a lot, maybe, whether it's Kubiak or anyone else, just about what the plays are, or does he seem to be relatively fluid with it?
I think he really is, Joe. I have not noticed him struggling or looking any less in command out there. I did see him miss one pass today that I think was a timing issue, and I don't know if it was with not one of the starters. I can't remember who it was. But after that,
Blazing
he was...
game?
I'm not sure who it was, but I said other than that pass, he was on the nuts with everything he was throwing, and he looked really good. I you know, the thing I did notice was the rotation Kyle Slaughter last week and this week so far has hardly gotten was gotten very few reps. It's been all number three. What the heck's his name? The guy we picked up from
Mannion?
No, that's number four. Jake Browning.
Oh,
and he was struggling. He was struggling a bit, overthrowing some passes, underthrowing some others, and maybe I don't know if it was because it was all this the reps he was getting. I did know he made one nice play where play broke down and he ran outside and he ended up outracing a linebacker and looked like he had some good moves. He's certainly faster than Cousins, I thought, in seeing that. But
did Slaughter get any reps at all? Because I know I don't think he did last in OTAs,
right?
As far as I'd heard.
You know, it was come to late in the practice, and I turned to the guys next to me, Sam Ekstrom and Tim Yoder, and I said, "You know, guys, is it me or is it Slaughter? Not is it, you know, this is his first play of the practice." And yeah, and we were talking about the same thing last week. So, you know, and Sam made this point that you know, we should watch for tomorrow to see if it's a rotation thing where Slaughter will get to play, you know, more reps tomorrow, or is, you know, they're trying to find out, you know, point I made, maybe they know what they have in him and they want to see what Browning can do because he's a new on the roster. So I don't know. It's it was really weird. You know, it's four quarterbacks back there. You know, you want to get all your guys some reps. They only practice for an hour and a half. So, you know, it's hard to see.
You get a feeling that Browning's going to be the guy. They seem to like to have that young guy that they can develop. And I know there's a lot of people that really like Slaughter.
Yeah, if that's the case, how come he's not the guy? I mean, they keeping him around, is that because they've had nobody else? I don't know. But I mean
I've heard a lot of people say that Mannion is going to get the boot too, but they clearly gave him some decent money this offseason. And when you bring a guy in like that and you invest in him, I don't remember particularly what his dead cap space was, if it was $100,000. I, for some reason, am remembering us looking that up, but I could be completely wrong about that. For next week, I'll look up what the dead cap space would be for these guys and whether or not it matters where they cut them. But they're probably going to go into each game with two quarterbacks like they did last season and kind of go from there. But it's a good problem to have, you know. I already forget what was his name, the quarterback, that Heinicke, that played started some games for the Panthers last year and did. I think he started out relatively slow, but I think he played relatively well from what I've read as the season went on. So they seem to have an eye for these guys, and a lot of people loved Heinicke here. He had that big arm, and also bad decision making in regards to getting into his house when he locks himself out. But it's going to be a fun camp, is my point. I'm very, very, very excited for camp, and I think it's super cool that you get to go to a lot of these things that a lot of other podcasts don't have the access to. So I don't know if I do a good enough job of explaining that or letting people out there know that when I'm advertising the show. But
you say it too much for my money, but that's
maybe
just me.
That's it. I just think it's the coolest thing in the world. It's obviously been a dream of mine to be one of those guys that shows up and like in the cartoons that has one of those old school hats on that have that card sticking out of it. It must be their press pass now that I'm thinking about it.
Yes.
I was just going to say, I don't know what the hell those cards were, but that's what I think of when I think of you.
Did you ever see the Three Stooges bit where, you know, they're trying to sneak into some press conference when they went into the bathroom and came back with buttons from the bathroom? Two of them said press and the other one said pull. So
I love Three Stooges. I always say soinly when people ask for things at the liquor store, and very few people know what the hell I'm talking about. Well, per usual, I said we could try a leaner show today and that maybe go for a half an hour just to see if that helped, and we went the full hour like we always do, which I think is a good thing. There was a lot to talk about, and it's all positive, so that's important. I will leave the show with the remainder of our new theme song and remind people to check out purpleterritoryradio.com for all the different Minnesota sports podcasts. We have some twin stuff on there, some high school-based stuff. I will be on KLGR radio tomorrow. I'll be recording in the morning, and it'll be playing sometime during the early afternoon during the show The Scoop with Seth Stupel. I think we'll be talking about a lot of the stuff that was on today, but it'll be cool. That's a Redwood Falls, Minnesota radio station. I guess Redwood Falls is about, I don't know, as far down as Mankato, as many miles away as Mankato is, but all the way to the west. So it's kind of straight out to the west, a little bit to the southwest. But yeah, stay tuned to purpleptsd.com, vikingsterritory.com for all your written stuff, some podcast stuff, and then definitely check out purpleterritoryradio.com for all of your podcast stuff. But this has been Morning Joes. We'll be back next Tuesday. Thanks for listening, and skull.